All right, it's Wendy Snyder sitting in for John Williams, and I get to say hello to an old friend of mine, Eric Zorn. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Wendy, it's been such a long time since you and I have been on WGN together.
I know, and I stay on top of things by reading your weekly newsletter, the Picayune Sentinel. And, all right, so I guess let's just start at the beginning here. Texas National Guard has arrived in the Chicago area, and I was told that you didn't think it was going to come to that.
Yeah, I predicted that Trump would back off, that he was doing this performatively, that he was threatening to send the National Guard, but he wasn't going to do it because he didn't want the court fight, because he's probably going to lose the court fight, as I think he's losing the court fight in Portland. There's no reason right now to send the National Guard into Chicago or to Portland. It's just not, there's not an insurrection going on. I mean, when you send the National Guard in, typically it's because the governor or the mayor has requested extra help in controlling some out of control, unruly situation, looting, rioting, things like that. That's not happened here. We've had protests, obviously, and some of those protests have gone sideways, but there hasn't been, it has not been this kind of chaotic urban strife that would necessarily qualify as an insurrection or as an emergency. So I thought that Trump was not going to do it because the Posse Comitatus Act, which basically says military cannot be used in domestic law enforcement, it ought to overrule that. And I just didn't think that Trump was going to want to lose the court fight because he doesn't like to lose. And I don't think he wanted to, or he wants to, provoke a constitutional crisis by ignoring the courts. So that was my prediction. Now, of course, since I've just given you my prediction about what the court will rule, you can take that prediction wherever you would take a prediction from someone who has made bad predictions.
Okay, Nostradamus, or the anti-Nostradamus.
I put the no into Nostradamus.
Yes, that's perfect. All right, so am I imagining things, or didn't J.B. Pritzker say he was not going to allow this to happen? And so what happens now? Could you give me that information?
Well, as I understand it, what happens now is that he goes to court. That he has said, Pritzker has said, that they're not going to have any, direct state police or local police to engage in any kind of conflict with the National Guard. They're going to go to the courts, and they're going to make the case that I just made, which is this violates federal law, pretty clear federal law, that you can't just send military troops in to deal with what is a routine law enforcement situation, and that he will then lose that, and then that they will have to withdraw the Texas National Guard. But Trump gets to make his point, which is that you've been hearing this on right-wing radio, and you've been hearing it from the websites, which is that the Republicans will say, well, these governors and mayors, they don't want to control crime. We're the ones who want to enforce the law, and the Democratic mayors and governors don't want to enforce the law. Yes, the courts ruled against us, but they're on the side of gang members and illegal aliens, and we are on the side of law and order. Either way, I think he feels like he wins. I'm surprised, though. I'm surprised that he pushed it this far. He really thinks that he's going to. I mean, he was able to send troops into Washington, D.C., because Washington, D.C. is a federal territory.
Oh, that makes sense.
But he's lost everywhere else so far on this. The Supreme Court, which is very friendly to him, might say, well, it's up to you. If you want to declare an insurrection, and the insurrection, if he declares an insurrection, then he's sort of allowed to say, well, I can do anything I want when there's an insurrection, because, the law, the federal law, does provide, in emergency situations, for presidents to take really strong action. And you saw that back when schools were being integrated in Arkansas and in the South. They sent federal troops in to make sure that the schools could be integrated. And that was, 70 years ago now. So I'm not sure that we have anything remotely similar to that right now. But the Supreme Court has been pretty friendly to Trump, and they might say, well, if he wants to say there's an insurrection, then that overrules everything, and he can have the troops here. Now, I don't know what they're going to do here.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm curious to know.
So supposedly they're here to protect the ICE agents and the ICE facilities and any federal buildings that are threatened by protesters. I'm not aware of any threats to, say, the Dirksen Federal Building or any place like that, and any other federal facilities there. Now, there is the Broadview facility, the ICE detention facility down there, which is the focus of all these protests. And I guess if they want to send the National Guard, you know, how many troops did they say they were going to have? 400? Is that the idea that they were going to have here?
I don't have the amount here. But FBI Director Kash Patel says Chicago will be saved. But what does it need to be saved from? Because it was just voted by Condé Nast Traveler to be the best big city in the U.S. So explain
it's
this to me.
It's a great city, and you know, 99.9% of it is peaceful as far as this protests are going. The protests are very localized right now. So far, the marches downtown have been peaceful. I don't know what it is that we're being saved from. Trump was saying the other day that, you know, Portland is on fire, Portland is out of control, and it's just not true. I mean, there's numerous news reports from the ground that Portland's protests are localized, just like Chicago's protests are localized. I think that the idea is that they want the ICE agents to be able to do their jobs without being harassed by protesters. And they're, you know, they have been. They've been followed by protesters in their cars. They've had their vehicles blocked. They've had water bottles thrown at them and so on. And this is stuff that I feel like, and I you know, whatever voice I am, I said, you know, I think that, and that that's taking the bait. That what I think Trump wanted to do, what they want to do with this situation, is they want to provoke protests so that they can give themselves an excuse to send the military in. And I think this lays the groundwork for future declarations of martial law. I mean, as I'm looking at what the long game might be for Trump. And I've even said on this show even that it's possible that he's laying the groundwork or setting a predicate for canceling elections if he feels like he's losing. But John Hansen says that I'm a fool to think that. But John Hansen was.
You're cutting in and out. I hope you're at some fun place on vacation. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. Yeah,
is it better now?
Yes. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. And quite honestly, sometimes I think this is just a big dream that we're all in, and things are changing rapidly. But this is day number what of the government shutdown?
I think it's 7 now. Seven?
Yeah. And what's going on with that? What's going on with everything, Eric?
I had heard news reports that Trump is considering making a deal with the Democrats. Now, he had basically refused to speak to them. He did meet with them, but there was just a sense of great hostility. He met with Hakeem Jeffries and Senator Schumer, and afterwards put out that AI video, which I'm sure you saw. You know, they put a sombrero and a mustache on Hakeem Jeffries, and they had put Schumer's voice saying all kinds of terrible, profane things. And, so that made it look like there were no negotiations possible. But polling has been showing that more of the public is blaming the Republicans and the Democrats for the shutdown. So the Democrats are holding firm on this idea of providing basic health care funding, not for illegal immigrants, but for people who are on Obamacare, that their premiums are going to skyrocket if the Republicans hold the line on their spending proposals.
That's going to be a problem for a lot of people.
So, yeah, a lot of people, and a lot of people in red states, too. There are my brother-in-law is in red states, and he's on Obamacare. He's very worried about this. There are lots of people who are will be affected by it. And so the Republicans are spreading, you know, the lie, basically, that they want that this is all being done so that undocumented immigrants can have access to Obamacare and access to Medicare and Medicaid. And that's just not true. And, you know, the Democrats have been clear about that. And the polling so far seems to show that the public is siding with the Democrats, not hugely, but enough that Trump may be worried that this isn't working out the way he wanted it to, and so he's going to come to the table and negotiate. He's not much into negotiation as far as this particular presidency is going. But, you know, there's compromise, and this is one lever that the Democrats have. It's like one little bit of power that they have because they're in the minority in the Senate. They're in the minority in the House. And they don't seem to have the support of the Supreme Court, and they don't have the White House. So this 60-vote threshold that they have in the Senate to block the continuation of federal spending is the only lever they have, and they're using it to say, we are going to use this to protect health care subsidies so that people don't lose their coverage. I think that can be a winning message if they get it out there. It seems to be right now. So that seems to be what's going on. I expect the shutdown will end by the end of the week.
End of the week. Another
prediction. You can hold me to that one.
All right. And I'm not a political pundit. I don't like to talk politics. Quite honestly, lately, I don't like to think politics. But people need to speak the truth and listen to one another, and we all have to come together. Isn't that honestly it? Doesn't it seem simple enough?
You know, it does. And this is why I found myself really, when Jim Edgar died not too long ago, I reflected on how things were not. I didn't agree with everything Jim Edgar said and did. I didn't agree with all his policies by any means, but I thought he was a very reasonable man. He was not a culture warrior. He worked with Democrats to try to, you know, craft budgets, craft policies that work for both parties, that there was a sense of at least attempts at bipartisan cooperation. Even as recently as Bruce Rauner, who ran for governor as a Republican, but also not as a hard social conservative. He was socially moderate to liberal. These were much more bipartisan times. And to solve our problems, you're absolutely right. We have to have people who are in the middle, who realize that everything that the Democrats think is not crazy and wrong, and everything the Republicans think is not crazy and wrong, that there are ways to compromise. There are ways that we can, you know, everyone's not going to get everything they want, but that we can move the country forward together. I think an example of how awful things have gotten was basically the way everybody rushed to their basic corners after Charlie Kirk was murdered. This was a time that we all needed to get together and speak with one voice about how awful political violence was.
Yes.
We didn't have to point fingers of blame. We had to, and I really thought that Donald Trump should have called all the living former presidents to the White House, and they should have stood together at a news conference and said, Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, we stand against this. This is not who we are. But then you got to think, well, maybe it is who we are, because the immediate everybody rushed to blame the other side, and it became this terrible area of conflict when it should have been a moment of unity. And if you remember, there was this an organization, I think it was called the 9/12 Committee or something like that, where people wanted to restore the sense that this country had on 9/12/2001, when we were all unified in our shock and our horror and determination and sense of patriotism. I remember everybody, I live in the northwest side of Chicago, just about every house on my block had an American flag.
Yes, I totally remember that. We all came together.
We came together, and we grieved together.
Yep.
We had the determination, and that seems to be just gone. And I think that's something that leadership has to. I mean, you and I can talk about it and talk about it on the radio, and I can write about it in my Substack, but it has to come from the top. It has to come from the leaders of the Senate, leaders of and the president. That's where it has to start. And so far, it's not there.
So answer this prediction. Eric Zorn in 2028. Are you running for president?
Oh, am I running? Really? Yeah, no, I'm too old to run for president. I don't even understand why people want to run for office. So Mayor Johnson wants to run again. Like, who wants to be mayor of Chicago? Jeez, what a thankless job that is. But anyway.
Yeah.
To want to do it. So
I say, don't do it. Just play Candy Crush. Reduce some of the stress in your life. Eric.
I just put funny jokes on my Substack and keep moving ahead.
You're going to be on Mincing Rascals. That records tomorrow and drops tomorrow. It could be WGNradio.com. John Hansen will be hosting it. And how do people subscribe to the Picayune Sentinel?
Well, every week, John Williams gives the address, the email address. Just write to me, ericzorn at Gmail. And every week I get a few new people who want to subscribe. It's free. I send it to you. If you like it, I have a premium edition, but the weekly edition comes out on Thursdays, and it's a lot to read as it is. So ericzorn at gmail.com. Drop me a line. I'll just add your address to the mailing list.
I'm on it, and I appreciate it. Great to talk to you, Eric.
Great to talk to you again, Wendy. It's been too long.